2 of the pursuit of life without God. We started this message last week, and I was able to take you through this message, considering how Solomon thought of it. And we stopped at a particular place, and that place where we stopped is where we're going to continue today. The pursuit of life without God, Solomon concluded in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, from verse 13 to 14. He said, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." Solomon was able to explain to us in Ecclesiastes what kind of vanity we can have if we continue to pursue the pleasures of this world, that anything that you want to give to yourself, how much you can enjoy, there's nothing wrong in enjoyment. There's nothing wrong in achieving great things in life. There's nothing wrong to have good success. There's nothing wrong to be wealthy. But Solomon said, even having, if you have the opportunity of possessing all these things, that at the end of the day, it's all vanity. But this particular message, this time around, I thought of looking into this message and considering a particular prophet in the Bible who, through the time of the Babylonian exile, the role that he played to restore the glory that was lost during this invasion of Babylonian people. So this afternoon, we're going to look into the pursuit of life without God through the eyes of this prophet, Haggai. The book is just 2 chapters. So if you can open with me to Haggai chapter 1. It's just 2 chapters. And then you will see how much this prophet thought of the way we have to consider working for the Lord, not neglecting the assignment that God has given to us. So are you there with me? Open to Haggai chapter 1. We have only 2 chapters, so it's a very small book in the Bible. It's one of those minor prophets. Before you get to Malachi, the last chapter, you just see it. Haggai chapter 1. So this prophet Haggai thought of the fact that there are things that we have to do that if we don't set our priority right, we could have problem in attending to the issues that has to do with God. This prophet didn't just receive from God. He got the message from God because of what was happening to the children of Israel. Some of the Jews that were taken into Babylonian exile, why they were in exile? At a particular time, they had this vision. They had this desire to come back to Jerusalem and rebuild the city, and most especially, and rebuild the temple. So they had this vision. They had this desire while they were in exile, while they were in captivity. So they were thinking, if it is possible for us to return back to our homeland so that we can build, so that we can reconstruct what has been lost, especially the temple. Haggai was able to see the temple before the temple was destroyed or was invaded. So he saw the glory. So they were all thinking on how they can restore this thing back. So it was a very good thinking for these people. And after a while, we were told that they were allowed to come back. The Bible recorded that in the 2nd year of King Darius, if you read from verse, that verse, In the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speak the Lord of hosts, saying, these people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now, before I get to that, so when they came back, when they, the king, one of the kings that was training then allowed them to return back to the land. So when they returned back to the land, some of them that were allowed to return back to the land, so they started to build. They started to build the temple, they started to reconstruct. But at a point in time, they stopped. They stopped because they faced a particular challenge. So they had a very good idea, and they had the drive and the strength to do it. So, but at a point in time, they faced a great challenge. And I want to take us to this challenge that they faced. If you read with me, Ezra chapter 4 from verse 4 to 5. It could be projected on the screen. Then the people of the land tried to destroy the people of Judah. They troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So you discover that Darius, the king, was the one mentioned in Haggai chapter 1 here from that verse 1 I was reading. It said, in the second year of the king Darius. So it was during that time they started to do what they intended to do when they left Babylon. They started to construct. But at a point in time, they were faced with challenges. The people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah. They tried to stop them from building. They troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So God knew that these people neglected the work, or they stopped the work, they stopped the momentum because of discouragement. They stopped the momentum because of the people that tend to stop them from doing what is good for the Lord. So before we continue, I want to let us understand that sometimes in life, if you have the opportunity to do something good for the Lord, don't think that because this thing that you are doing for the Lord is good and is unto the Lord, you are not going to face discouragement, or that you are not going to face opposition, or that people will love everything that you are doing. No, not at all. If you are doing something that is right or something that is good, or you have a desire to do something for the Lord, definitely not everybody will love it. And you could face opposition. You could face challenge. And God knows. But one thing with God is that God wants you to continue. God wouldn't want you to abandon his work and begin to pursue some other things in life without taking care of things, first thing first. So we have to put God first in all that we do. So no matter what we are confronted with, we have one duty to God, that is to fear him and keep his commandments. That was the conclusion of Solomon. That I haven't had everything that you desire, all the pleasure or anything, whatever you have, the education, you know, wealth, riches, whatever you have, the duty that we all have in life is to fear the Lord and keep his commandment. And when we fear God, it means we will put him first in all that we do. So if we pursue anything in life and we neglected God and we refuse to put God first, God is not going to be happy with us. And no matter what we do, eventually we are going to lose. And that's why we have to take notice of this. This particular message is very, very important as we continue in life. Praise the Lord. God will take care of other things. We must obey him. We must not be discouraged. We have to understand one thing. When we are on a verge of doing something for the Lord and we face discouragement, we face opposition, if we continue to go ahead and continue to forge ahead, definitely God will take care of all these problems, all these challenges, all this opposition. He will take care of those things. Those are not for us. There are things that will help us. There are things that will gear us up to work further for the Lord. So let's continue. So these people, they thought in their heart that there's some other things that they have to do first. So when they came to the land and they started doing this work they're supposed to do, the building, the temple, the constructing, the whole thing, and they faced this discouragement, they stopped. So now when they stopped, they begin to think of themselves. Well, we are now back to the land, so we have to take care of our family. And there's nothing wrong in what they are doing. They were, you know, preparing themselves, taking care of their family, but they neglected the work they started. They neglected and stopped the construction of the temple for 16 years. It was after that 16 year that God now geared up this prophet Haggai to talk to the people that this thing that you are doing is not good. That you fail to evaluate what is happening to you. And they fail to evaluate what is happening to them. And what was that thing? Let's begin to read from that verse 2. Say, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, these people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourself to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus say the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Now these people fail to consider their ways. You know, if you are doing something and you begin to have troubles, you make effort and everything is not coming as you think it should be. The result that you are having is not as you thought it should be. Don't you think that you need to think that these things are not right? That what can I do? What is wrong? What is happening to me? But they fail to consider their ways. And so God geared up Prophet Haggai and sent him to these people. Now listen to me. Verse 6. You have sown much and bring in little. Now, you fail to pursue me. You pursue your own things. You reconstruct your own houses. Everything has been reconstructed. Everything is fine. You have penthouses. You enjoy all those luxuries. But my house, we should be first, where I always meet with you, is in ruins. And then he said, You fail to consider your ways. Said verse 6, you have so much and bring in little. When you continue to say that, you have labored so much and the result is not equivalent to your labor. Don't you think that these things are not right? Consider these things. You eat, but do not have enough. You struggle to feed yourself and your children, but you don't have enough to feed them. You drink, but you are not fed with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Consider your way. And why are these things happening to you? Because you pursue life without me. You are taking care of your own without putting me first. And I am a jealous God. You neglected my house. You neglected the temple. Your desire, while you were in exile, your desire to come back home and reconstruct the temple, this desire is fading away. Now I brought all these woes unto you. He who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Now I want to ask us today, because this book is such a book that we should read all the time. Few people will go into this kind of book and read, because one of those short chapters in the Bible. What people usually like to read are Psalms and, you know, maybe the New Testament. People wouldn't want to come and read these things. If they read it, they say, oh, it's for the Israelites. But these are also for us today. I want to ask us, how much have we been able to do for the Lord? What is your attitude about life? Do you put God first? When it has to do with God's business, how do you look at it? Do you take care of yourself first before taking care of God? How do you look at things that has to do with God? Projects, the house of God, taking care of the gospel, preaching the word, and taking care of his ministry, God's ministry. How do you look at these things? Do you put God first in all these things? Don't you know that it is God that will bless you? It is God that can help you to achieve what you never even thought you can achieve. The preambles that I put down here before the message. Look at John, 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Apostle John said, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." It is the will of God that we should desire to prosper first. Our soul should prosper. In fact, physical prosperity should come as a result of spiritual prosperity. Because if you first prosper physically without having your soul in high standard of prosperity, you may lose your head. You may lose your salvation even. So Apostle John said here, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." Because your soul is more important. Your soul, you know, eternal life is more important, don't you think so, than the physical life. Our duty and priority here on earth is to fear God and keep his commandment. God must be first in all our life endeavors. The desire to be rich, great, and achieve in life must come after our desire to know and serve God. It should come after that. The pursuit of life without God is not going to give us anything tangible. In fact, it's vanity. It's meaninglessness. Matthew 6:33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." What I'm asking you is this: as you are receiving this message this afternoon, what do you think about your own life? Where is God in you? Where do you place God? What position do you place God in your life? It's what I want to ask you. So many people are so busy in this life. And we shall continue to be busy. I want to tell you that. You've got to be busy doing something. Either you are busy working, either you are busy visiting people, busy attending to people, busy shopping around, going to more. You've got to be busy in this life. But as you are busy, do you think of God? How much are you busy for the Lord? In the 24 hours in a day, how many hours do you give for God? How many hours do you give for God? Look at Sunday. How many hours do you have on Sunday? How many hours do you give to God on Sunday? After the first day of the week, how do you spend the remaining days? We continue to do all these things. We continue to, run around. Sometimes we even forget about God until once in a while we just remember, let me just go see him in the church. Come to the church. It's all of us. How much do you desire for the Lord? How much do you labor for the Lord? It's important because in God we live, in God we move, in God we have our being. We shall all return back to God. So the pursuit of life without God is nonsense. It doesn't make any sense. Because you're going to return back to this God, right? Then why can't you put him somewhere? Put him first. Consider God first. And this is what Haggai was telling the people. God brought woes onto your work. God allowed problems, challenges to happen to you. In fact, this is true. It's love. Because you have neglected what is important. You are doing the wrong thing. I mean, you are doing the right thing at the wrong time. Taking care of your own house, preparing for your children is good. But you have to take care of God first. Do that for God first. Matthew 6:19-21. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Truly speaking, these people, when they came back to Jerusalem, with the momentum, with all the desire they had when they have problem. They begin to think, oh, let us build now. Let us build now. And they started building. But now they have this attitude that we will leave this behind now. It's not yet time now. We will continue this job until when we are comfortable. Because they laid their treasures on the earthly level. And so their heart was just selfish. They were thinking of their own all alone. They don't think that it is necessary for them to lay their treasures in heaven. They don't know that, or they have forgotten the fact that all that they had doing for the Lord, or whatever they were able to do for the Lord, we have eternal gain and eternal reward. It's just saving for eternal life. They never remember that. They forgot that. And so they begin to think of themselves alone. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. If you put your trust in riches, in your own self, in the pleasure of this world, you just want to take care of yourself alone. Some of us, that is, we can blame these people. These people, when they were in trouble, they remember God. They desire to come back home, to their homeland, to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the city. But as soon as it was comfortable for them, they stopped doing this thing for 16 years. Until they begin to have this problem and Haggai has to speak to them. But we're going to see these people, what they did at the end. But look at Romans chapter 9, verse 14 to 18. Just to, you know, brethren, it's very important when we listen to God's word to have the desire to put it into action in our lives. Amen? That is what is very, very important. It's only God that can bless you. If you put God first, if you consider God first, it will prosper the work of your hand. Listen to me, you could be receiving $1,000 in a month, and you live better than somebody receiving $10,000 in a month. It's all has to do with God. When we put God first, he will help us. He will take care of us. I mean, look at what he said here. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that is in ruins. Why every one of you runs to his own house? If you don't put God first, you could be having money. You don't think that God can do the same thing what he did to these people to you if he loves you? God can blow. You bring 10,000 home. You forgot God. God will just blow into it. You will spend it. You even know how you spent it. Because you don't put God first. Do you know that if you receive pay and you fail to give God his own, you are a thief. And you cannot steal from God and go free. Some of us, we don't think it's important to pay our tithe. We don't think it's important to pay our offering. If you don't want God to blow wind into what belongs to you, give God what belongs to God. Hello? Jesus even told the disciples when they were complaining to pay tax, say, give to Caesar what is for what? For Caesar. Give God what belongs to God. Stop stealing. Amen? Look, he said, therefore, verse 10. I'm still going to go to Romans. I know I have to open to that, but look at that verse 10 of that Haggai chapter 1. It said, therefore, the heavens above you with all the dew. You can see that on the screen. And the earth with us is fruit. For I call for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. The Lord will not destroy the labor of your hands. Amen. Put God first. Look at Romans chapter 9, verse 14 to 18. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? I'm asking you. No? Okay. Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whoever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whoever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. The Lord will show you mercy in Jesus' name. It's not all this running around, you know, working very hard. Some of us, we work and work and work and work and work and work. Hello? How long? so long. And you don't put God first. You are not ordinary. The day you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you have gone into a covenant with God. It's no longer you that lives, but Christ that lives in you. So you cannot do anything anyhow as you like to do it. I think I even put it down somewhere here. Cannot do anything anyhow as you like to do it, because you are very special, because you are a special person since you have given your life to Christ. Now, if you are not a Christian, hello, you can do anything you like with yourself. You can go around, you can do anything you like with your money. You can do whatever you like if you're not a Christian. But now that you are a Christian, you cannot do that because you have been purchased. Your life is no longer your life. Look at what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And we used to sing, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. In me, in me. Jesus is the life in me. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Any day you have given your life to Christ, that day that you said, Jesus, this is my life, you don't own anything again. Hello? You are not ordinary again. The same thing with the Israelites. Here, they have a covenant with God. They have to keep that covenant. They cannot do anything anyhow like the people around them. Though they may be discouraged, they should know that even their fathers, while coming from Egypt to the promised land, were discouraged. But God took them there, right? So, to be discouraged, it's not a new thing. Some of us, we said, I have challenges. That is why, Pastor, when I finish taking care of my challenges, I will remember God. You are talking of another God, not this jealous God. He's so jealous. God wants 100% of you, not 99.9%. He wants everything, all of you. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. It's a covenant. It's a covenant-keeping God. You have to remember the covenant of Jesus Christ with God. You are not ordinary. You are not your own. The life that you have now is not your life. It is the mercy of God that makes you to be alive here today. Hello. If not because you have this covenant with God, maybe the day you gave your life to Christ, you will have been dead and go back to heaven. But you are spared to be here for a purpose. And you have to attend that purpose. As young as I am, I can remember some of my mates that are no longer alive today. Look at your life. You have passed through so many dangers, but God saw you through, right? It's not your making. The pursuit of life without God is emptiness. It doesn't make any sense. If you run around and you don't put God first, it's not good. And this is what God was telling these people. But I love these people because they had a good attitude. You know, any attitude that will say, let me do it anyhow. Anytime I have, I will do it. Let us see the pursuit of life without God. If you look at it and you see it very well, everyone in that engage in the pursuit of life without God, they get into trouble. And this is why these people were in trouble today. They get into trouble. Anytime the Israelites continue to pursue their own thing, God will use their neighbors to punish them. Do you understand now? Because they are not ordinary. They have a covenant with God. They have to keep that covenant. It's a very bad attitude. We have the same attitude today. Disciples said, we will walk on the temple whenever we are settled and get comfortable enough. 16 years. How long are they going to get comfortable? If God did not send that prophet to them, they will continue to get comfortable until the old years until they die. Let me ask you a question. When do you think you'll be comfortable enough? When are you going to say, okay, I don't need anything? Is anybody here who does not need anything? Even our president needs something. I don't know if there's anybody who does not need anything. You need something. You need something. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? When we face challenges, especially when you are in the perfect will of God, when you face challenges, when people around you begin to give you trouble, either in a relationship, maybe in a marriage relationship, if you are in a perfect will of God, people begin to give you trouble. Listen, you need not to fear. Look at what that Bible says in that Hebrews chapter 6. So we may boldly say. For you to be able to say boldly, you must pursue life with God. So anytime people are coming around, anytime you face something that you look like, what is happening to this money? Who is taking this money from me? You can boldly say, God, I have paid my tithe. This should not happen to me. Somebody had a problem and he went to the pastor. Pastor asked the person, first and foremost, do you pay your tithe? Do you pay your tithe? And the person will say, okay, think about that. We will pray about this one, but so that this problem will not happen to you again, go and do the right thing. So you can boldly say, God, why should this happen to me? Why? What is bringing this? So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? If you are in the perfect will of God, you need not to fear. If it is a relationship, if it's business, if it's office, you need not to be afraid. If you're not doing anything, if you have not done anything wrong, you see a policeman, why should you be shaking? Do you know some people, if they have done something wrong or they are in a wrong situation, when they see somebody with uniform, they will be shaking. They don't even know if the person is police or not, but uniform, they will be shaking. Maybe this guy, maybe. Some people, when they knock at their door like this, they'll be running around. Because there is no boldness. Somebody is doing something wrong. But let us consider the obedience of these people. And that's where we are going. You know, there is in life, we can make mistakes. With all these messages I've given to you, the part one, I explained to you what happened to Solomon, how Solomon, even with all that he had, he looked at everything, he said, all is vanity. He enjoyed so much. And in fact, I was thinking about Solomon, you know, when I was concluding this part two. I can't imagine how Solomon will know all his children. 700 wives, 300 concubines. I'm thinking even his wives, they will have name tag. I was thinking, they will have name tags. And maybe he will call them by number. Because I don't know how much, this man should be very, very intelligent. You know, at a point in time, his children, I don't know how he would recognize them. Because let's assume that the 700 wives should have one child each. So we are talking of 700 children, right? But some of them will compete. You know what happened to Rachel and Leah? Some of them may have more than one. They may have even 10. So maybe his children will run into thousands. How is he going to manage? How is he going to do all these things? And Solomon came to a conclusion. This is all vanity. It's all problem. Vexation of mind. It's all problem. But there's nothing wrong in having pleasure. Sometimes we can make mistakes. Sometimes we may be derailed. We may lose focus. Even as Christians, as you are still down here or you are listening to me, maybe you are listening to this message, it is possible that sometimes in your life, you miss the track. You had a vision for God in the past. The day you gave your life to Christ, look at the kind of zeal that you have, the kind of momentum that you have. When you first gave, the joy that you have, when you first gave your life to Christ, You want to do everything for the Lord. You are running up and down. You want to preach the gospel. You want to bring somebody to God. You want to bring somebody to the church. You want to live a life of an example. You want to do restitution. You want to make some corrections. You want to live a holy life, a righteous life. Do you remember that kind of time? Now let us assume that maybe after some years now, you relax. Because everything is not comfortable for you. But I want to ask you a question. If that happens, and now God is talking to you to consider your way, and God is saying to you that maybe some of the problems you have now, you brought this upon yourself because you forgot your first love, then what do you think you have to do? Look at these people here, these Jews here. They obey what this prophet told them. Anytime we realize that we are in a wrong direction, we need to turn back or else we will not get to our destination. So these people realize that, oh, yes, they listened to him, Agai, as he was speaking, and they knew that they were in a wrong destination. Now they want to turn back and do what they have to do, what God asked them to do. And that is what we have to do. When we know that we're in a wrong direction, you turn back. If you use GPS to get to a destination and you miss your way, it's going to tell you at any opportunity, make a U-turn. It's going to tell you. Make a U-turn. Now, if you say, I'm not going to make a U-turn, shut up your mouth. You will not get to your destination. Yesterday, we are going to somewhere. We don't know the place. We just put it in our vehicle, the GPS, and we got to a place. It was a dead end. We didn't know. We turned on that lane, and he said, at any opportunity, make a U-turn. At any opportunity, make a U-turn. And we are looking for opportunity, but we look at the end. It was a dead end. That road will not continue after a while. Then we have to turn back because we have to get to our destination. We turn back, we went back to the route, and we continue moving. And then when we are moving, say, after a while, you're going to make a left turn. So you get to our destination because we were able to listen to the directions or to the leading of the GPS, or we followed the route and we were able to get to our destination. So the same thing, if there's any point in our life we make a mistake, it is good for us to make a U-turn and then do the right thing. And God is always ready to help us. These people came back to their right minds and turned back to God. Verse 12. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. God is always with those who desire to obey him. So these people turn around, they obey whatever the prophet told them, and they begin to build again. God is always with people that are ready to obey him. To obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of ram. Don't condemn yourself. It is possible that you have been pursuing your own thing. The pursuit of life without God might be your own problem now. But you are still alive. It is not too late. What you have to do, if you read this book of Haggai very well, it's a very short book, just two chapters. Look at what those people did. They turned around and they came back to God. Do the same thing. It will work with you. Amen? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 to 20. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. It's very, very simple. If we obey God and do the right thing, God will be merciful on us. It is through the love of God that we get chastised, we get punished, when we go astray from following the law. It is through his love. As a Christian, you are in a covenant relationship with God. You cannot do your own thing yourself as you want to do it. You have to follow God, and you have to do what God asks you to do. The life that you have now is no longer your life. The earlier you listen to this, the better. And God was telling the Israelites here, I am in a covenant relationship with your father, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am in a covenant relationship. If you want to enjoy this relationship, you have to listen to me and do what I ask you to do, or else you're going to have a problem with me. I'm not going to take no for answer. God is not going to take no for what? For answer. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 27 to 28. The blessings if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today, to go after other gods which you have not known. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. For the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. It's evil for us to pursue our own thing without putting God first. So, the best thing is for you to understand that you as a Christian, you have to put God first. You have to pursue life with God. And you got to be for God first before you do all these things. Because he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. First John 3:22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And look at Haggai chapter 2, 4, verse 4 to 5. Says, yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and walk, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I have covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. They decided to do these things, and God told them, don't worry, I'm going to be with you. You are not going to be discouraged this time around. You will do it, and you will be successful. If you look at from verse 6, that may not be projected. Say, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, now ask the priest concerning the law, saying, if one carries holy meat, well, we could leave that one. That was another story entirely. But in the conclusion, these people did what God asked them to do, and everything came back to normal. I want to, before we go home today, I want you to look at God, how God look at life for those of you that possibly may be thinking today, now, Pastor, I think this message is for me. I have done something that I think is not right for me to do. I have been pursuing things on my own, and I think I have problem in my finances. I have problem in my family. I have problem in my business. I have problem in my place of work or in my profession, because I think I did not put God first. I have been so selfish. Then, Pastor, I think this is seriously what I have to consider. What do you think I should do? I want you to do what these people did. They turned around and they corrected their mistakes. They came back to God, and God began to prosper them. If you look at the parables that Jesus gave a parable that I want us to go through, and possibly maybe we close from that. If you open with me to Luke chapter 15, that may not be on the screen. Quickly, let's see that. Luke chapter 15. Parable of the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15 from verse 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. This is a parable. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together, journeying to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pulse that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and perish with hunger? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and we say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Jesus gave this parable. This is what God will do. This is what God can do. If we are in any mistake, we are in a wrong direction, we come back home to God. He's a God of several chances. He will give you another opportunity. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, is alive. Again, he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has defiled your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. This parable Jesus gave to let us understand that God will give us another chance if only we can recognize what we have done. This prodigal son recognized and realized that he had done something wrong. He said, I have sinned against you and against heaven. He even told his father, I'm not even worthy to be called your son. Just make me one of your servants. But God will not do that. There's a covenant Jesus had with God. You are always his child. Amen? Just let us do the right thing. These people, in the time of Haggai, they did the right thing. They came back to their senses. The temple they have neglected for 16 years, waiting for the time it will be comfortable for them. They said it's not yet time, but waiting for the time it will be comfortable for them. But when Haggai came to them, spoke to them, they came back to their senses, and according to the word that they had from Haggai, they came back. They went to the mountains, got all the necessary things, and they built the temple. And God told them the glory of this temple now will be better than before because they have obeyed him. Any life that we pursue, anything that we pursue in life without putting God into consideration as a Christian, it is not good. I want you to think about this now as we are going to pray. Think about your life. Where are you? If you are the type that you are always running around, it's not of him that wills, it's not of him that runs, it's of God that shows mercy. All you need is the mercy of God. All you need is divine favor. That's all you need. That's all you need. God can help you that the little that you have, he will grant you peace to enjoy it. If you put him first, God can make a way for you that you never thought can happen. We make a way for you where there are no ways. We open doors for you. Doors that people will imagine this is God's doing. They will look at this, oh, this is the Lord's doing. And they will rejoice and they will say, this is marvelous in our sight. But if you continue to think that you don't want to change, you just want to do your thing yourself, the end will be the Father. It's going to be vanity. And what Solomon said will happen. It's vanity of vanity. At the end of the day, you will discover that you lose everything. Because none of us brought anything to this life. When we are going to go back, we are going to go empty. I have never seen anybody who will die and they will bury his building with him. Even if they can do that, they won't bury more than one building. I don't think they will go and bury. If you build 10 buildings, when you are going to go, they're going to bury all the 10 buildings with you. I've not even seen it. The best they can do is to give you a certain portion of the land. If it is back in some countries where they will allow people to be buried at home, they can just give you a certain size of the land and they put that person there. Other people will be enjoying what you left behind. And like I said in part one, who knows? I pray that madman will not take over your properties. In a very short while, they will blow everything you labor for. You run around, you leave God behind, you run around and run around, you run around. Some of us, we don't even want to hear anything about God. Some people, as soon as they hear church, they are thieves. It's my money. Some people are just saying to them, give your life to Christ. I know what you are looking for. You have come again. You are looking for my money. Which is your money? God told these people, silver am I, gold am I. I own all these things. It's God that gives us power to get wealth. In fact, there is nothing that is yours. God owns everything. And for you to realize that, that is why when we depart this place, we'll depart without going with anything. If they make a mistake and bury anybody with beautiful and gold coffin, they will go there in the night and remove it. Things will go there in the night. They will take out that beautiful coffin. And they will dump the body. When somebody is dead, do you think that person can complain? Think that person can complain? Someone who is dead is dead. They can't complain. Look at what happened in Illinois here. People died. People just moved their body, push it somewhere, push all the bones somewhere. Bury the other people. And people are complaining. Hey, some people are weeping. This is where I bury him. This is where I bury him. I can't see him there again. Who cares? The people weeping, the people dead, the people who move the dead people, they are all where? They are all the same. It will happen. They will also die. The people who took the body, who drew this body, they are the same, everybody. They one day, it's only the time. But one by one, it's only the time. Well, nobody knows the time. So the pursuit of life without God is not, it doesn't make sense. Because we are all going to return back to this God. So let us think about these things. Don't think that, the pastor must preach every Sunday, must preach something. No. Or when you come to church, you'll be looking for where is this person? Where is that person? Don't forget about where is this person? Where is that person? You will stand alone before God and give account. This matter of pastor will help me. Pastor will not help you because pastor will be looking unto Jesus Christ to help him. Hello? And the Lord will bless you in Jesus' name. I'm not creating fear in you, but I want you to have a positive approach to this message. The pursuit of life without God is nonsense. So So if you are here and all you are thinking about yourself, you are running around, how you going to do this, how you going to build all those houses, how you going to build that, how you going to buy that one in that place, how you going to go to Florida and put your hand on the sea and you live around the sea and nobody will be able to come near you and you enjoy and enjoy and enjoy. Remember, one day, an end will come to anything we do. If you go to school, the first day you register, there will be a day you will graduate or a day they will check you out of the school. You cannot register in the school and continue to go to the class. Continue to go to the class. Continue to go to the class. You listen to all, you go to all classes. Every year they see you are in the class. There will be a day they will have a counselor to call you. And counselor, this is not normal. When people come here, they register. One day, they will go for commencement. That is, they will go to start to apply, or they will go and graduate and begin to think about another life. They go to the world and start another life. It must happen. Why, in your own case, we see you here all the time. Even people that want to get degree in they call one degree, Board of Governors or something like that, general degree. One day, they will graduate, right? So, the same thing. One day, we're going to finish everything. And when we conclude everything, then what are you going to give in return? What are you going to give in account? I'm telling you, as we are talking now, everything is like, Pastor is talking, before you know it, look at your time now. Before you know it, it will be night. You will sleep. You wake up. Yeah. You go. Little by little, wrinkles all over your body. Little by little, your leg shaking here, shaking there. Little by little, all your hair is becoming gray. You say it is wisdom. You use adjective. Oh yeah, it is the sign of wisdom. That's why my head is white. That's why my hair is white. Like wisdom. Okay, little by little. If you see me when I was, in my 20s or 30s, I got a very hair all over the place. In fact, I used what they call Weller Street. I mean, those of you, possibly if you don't know that time, in the 70s, there's what they call Weller Straight. It's just one of these things you use to, make your hair, come like, and then you put all these chains, satin chains, certain chains, chain, and you comb it, and everything's like this, and you walk like this as you are the best. But where is this hair now? It's gone. I look for it, I can't get it. You think I like it to be like this? Hello? You think I love this? No. I want to, the people said, okay, I can go to people, they can grow it back, but I don't want problem. Because they will put one there and take one out. Hello? You go there, they sit down, they put chemical, it's growing, and you are happy. They're putting something inside as they are taking one out. And maybe after a while, you begin to pay the price. I don't want that. That is life, brethren. That is life. That is life. A man was driving, we were coming to the church, a man was driving in front of us. He was in one of these old vehicles, but the man very happy driving. But one of those old, car, old one. And then my wife was telling me, he said, you see that vehicle? See, this one we are inside. In another time now, when we are going, they say, look at this man driving that old truck. Because they will bring out what another one. Maybe by that time, the one they will bring out will be flying. When there is traffic, it's going to fly and jump the lane. They can do that. Amen? And then the one we are thinking is the best now. You know, in those days, there's what they call James Brown. Where you make your trouser, you don't make it like this, right? You make it, is small air, and fair, it will be big. And then they strong what they call high heel for men. You put on the high heel, the heel is so high, and you wear it, and then the trouser is so big that it will cover the high heel like that. And then when you walk like that, you lose. If I wear that now, dog will be looking for me and back me. Because nobody's wearing that now. Nobody's wearing that. But that time we pursue it as if it is the best. You are not in that. You are not, it's not your generation. There's a language the youth are speaking now that we don't understand. There's a language, there's some music they listen to. We don't understand that music. In our own time, when we are listening to this music, they look at us. The adults, they look at us. What is going on with this young? What is it listening to? They don't understand what we are listening to, but then that was our generation. But these people now, when they rap, when they listen to this rap music, you look at it, what are they stuck in this thing? It's their generation, right? But that is how. But if you pursue all these changes and you pursue all these things and you neglect God, that is constant. All these things we shame, but God is what? It's constant. God is the same. These things will come and go. It will come and go. Style will come and go. New things will come and go. New design will come and go. Names will come and go. I mean, houses design will come and go. Things will come and go. But God will stand forever. And that's why we have to acknowledge Him. That's why we have to love Him. That's why we have to pursue anything with Him. Because He will be a winner at the end. And God is always a winner. All these things can fail, but God will never fail. That's why we must love God. Children, please, put God first. Love God so much. Let us all put time. Look at your time. How much are you spending for the Lord in the 24 hours that you have? When you wake up in the morning, how much time do you spend to pray? To pray, to do something for God? How much time do you encourage somebody? You call somebody, look at the church today. Some people are not here. You call them, oh, we didn't see you today. We encourage you. Let's do. Because people are facing challenges. Amen? So they need to be encouraged. You need to let them understand that, listen, God is always there for you. He's a God of several chances. And as you do that, God will bless you. There's no one. He said, I did not ask the house of Israel to serve me in what? In vain. You are not going to serve God in vain. No. Look at the prophet that told the widow. He said, go and do my own first. The woman told him, said, look, this is all I have. And when I eat this with my son, what happened to us? We'll go and die. But the prophet said, go and do my first. It looks stupid. It looks like the prophet was wicked. How can you go to a widow? You have to give to a widow, right? And you said, because you are the prophet, go, this food that we have for you and your son, go and prepare it for me. Let me eat it. If it is today, a pastor come to your house and say, that's your food you have that I met you. Eat. Not that you don't even have another one, but this is the one you have just cooked. The other one is not yet cooked. And the pastor said, the one you just cooked now, pack it and give it to me. I want to go and eat. You look at him like licking his stamina. He will laugh. Say, yeah. You think I'll be mumu? You get to eat? Because let me first eat. When I get strength, I will go and cook your own for you. But the woman did not argue with the prophet. He went and did it. What happened to the woman? After he gave that to that prophet, I think it's Elijah, right? After he gave it to him, the Bible recorded that the woman lacked nothing again. In fact, the bowl for flour, always there. And the one for oil, always there. And so the woman had more than enough because he did that first for the Lord. When you give to a man of God, you are doing what? Giving or doing it unto the Lord. Let's put God first. I have not seen anybody who puts God first and regret it. You know that you do. When we call you to participate in anything in the church, let's do it. God requires that we take care of His temple, take care of His house. Let's take care of this house of God. Amen? This is where we come to meet the Lord. Take care of this building. Amen? And when you do that, God will take care of your business. Don't say it's not yet time. Pastor, wait, it is not yet time for us to do anything in the church. Let us first provide for our family. Because, you can always find somewhere to quote in the Bible. Anyone cannot provide for his home. It's worse than what? I'm a man. I must provide first, Pastor. Let me go provide for my family first so that the Bible will not be against me. But I tell you the truth, we got to put God first. And when you do that, God will take care of you. Have I said enough? What we do that will be good is for you to go now and do the right thing, which means put all this into action. Prioritize, change your priorities. Look at what we are doing. Do things right. Father, we bless you this afternoon. We worship you because we're a good God. Thank you for this time and the opportunity we have once again to listen to your word. The pursuit of life without God is nonsense. The pursuit of life without God is vanity. We have seen this, how Solomon explained this, how much he enjoyed life so much that he came to conclusion that all is vanity. And he said, our duty on earth is to fear God and keep his commandments. That is our duty, to fear God and keep his commandments. Father, help us, O Lord, to understand this and apply this, that we will fear you and we will keep your commandments. The mighty name of Jesus. We have also gone through part two of this message, and we look at this through the eyes of Haggai. And how Haggai told the people that as they have neglected the building of the temple or the construction of the temple, they neglected it for 16 years. And Haggai came back to them and told them that they should go back and rebuild, that the problems that they have, that they don't have more, you know, what they needed for a certain time, or that the problem they have in the income, on the field, every problem that is coming their ways, that is just because of the fact that they have neglected the reconstruction of the temple, which was their vision, to reconstruct that temple for the Lord. And the people made a change, and they went back and continue what they have left undone. And so as those changes were coming into them, into their lives, and God began also to make changes in